like to welcome you to today's Stats and Short Stories episode. Today's guest is David Spiegelhalter, Winton Professor of Public Understanding of Risk in the Statistical Laboratory Center of Mathematical Sciences, the University of Cambridge, and President of the Royal Statistical Society. He's also author of the book Sex by Numbers, What Scientists Can Tell Us About Sexual Behavior, as well as many other impactful works. I'm John Baylor. I'm chair of the Department of Statistics at Miami University, and I'm joined by my colleague Richard Campbell, chair of the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film. And we'd like to welcome David Spiegelhalter to our short episode today. Welcome, David. What I'd like to do is I'd like to start with a quick question for you. In the start of your book, Sex by Numbers, you had an interesting rating scheme for the quality of studies. It was a 4-star as for the best, numbers you can indeed believe, to down to a 1-star numbers that are unreliable with two intermediate values in between. Why did you develop this scheme?
Well, I should say also I did have a 0-star for numbers that completely made up and of no value whatsoever. this is an area of sexual statistics that vary in quality vastly. There's some really good numbers out there, and there's some complete and utter drivel. Because if you Google, and I'm not suggesting you do, but if you sort of search for sex statistics online, you'll pick up all sorts of stuff that you probably wish you didn't have to look at. So it's an area where it's very important to be able to communicate the quality of the evidence. And you can't just look at the sample size. Some of the worst statistics are some of the biggest sample sizes. So it's nothing to do with small samples or statisticians would say there's just the margin of error. It's to do with systematic biases. It's the fact that this data has been asked of people who aren't representative, and the questions have been asked badly, and you don't trust the answers anyway.
What are some examples of numbers that are unreliable? I think that's one of your categories.
Yeah, but the ones that people just make up are things like men think of sex every 7 seconds and things like that. The average amount of time spent kissing in a lifetime is 20,000 minutes. I mean, really, these are not very reliable statistics at all, but they're ones you'll find, on the web. Ones that also that unreliable, to be honest, are the earlier work by Sheer Height. Very huge best-selling books. And these made some very bold claims in the 1970s about female sexuality, reporting that 70% of men married for more than 5 years were having affairs, 84% of women were emotionally unsatisfied with their relationships. And those sort of claims, received a lot of publicity. But, that book was based on 100,000 questionnaires and 4,500 responses. Mm. So a tiny response rate of what were probably a highly selected group of women. Now, actually, the book's rather good read because people wrote long stories, and the book largely consists of some very moving quotations of women and about their dissatisfaction with their emotional and sexual lives. And so I think it's very powerful, very influential, quite right, but her statistics were grossly unreliable. And she got criticized quite strongly at the time about those.
So one aspect of the intermediate rating schemes that you described were kind of within a certain believability range.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about that? Can you give us an example?
Yeah, essentially, a 4-star account is, in the star ratings, numbers I can really believe and those would be very limited, but they would be sort of official statistics based on national registrations. In the UK, how many births in the UK were outside marriage, which is about a half. In 1973, 1 in 20 16-year-old girls in the UK got pregnant. Now, those are good statistics. We can believe those numbers. They're really based on counting specific instances. Numbers that are reasonably accurate, I'd say, are ones that I'd trust up to about plus or minus 20%. Regardless, I don't believe the confidence intervals quoted in surveys because that assumes a totally unbiased sample, and I think in this area, so that's very difficult to get. But those sorts of questions. I would give that sort of rating if they were conducted in extremely good surveys, done very carefully. The sort of national surveys that are carried out in the UK and the US, relying on face-to-face interviews of a properly randomly selected group of the population. And going down a bit, two-star numbers that really could be quite a long way out. I'd say, you know, plus or minus 50%. They could be half, they could be double the true answer. So now you're getting to, you know, not that good surveys. Actually, I'd put a lot of online stuff in that category. I think you just, online panels are fine, but actually there's no test about the honesty of the answers, about the reliability of the answers, and it's not a representative group. I think some McKinsey stuff could just about manage to get to two-star away from one-star. So again, I would trust them to give a very rough ballpark figure, which is about what Tukey and others who inspected Kinsey's work in the 1940s said.
Very, very good. Last question. So we're living in this world of fake news and alternative facts.
Yeah.
What do you think statisticians and journalists can do to combat this? It's a real problem.
Yeah, this is the question of the day. And I must say, you know, recently, you know, from events in the UK and the US, I sometimes felt like just giving up. But no. But then I wake up in the morning revived with new energy that this gives a new impetus for the importance of statistics.
Yes.
And good journalism and the both professions and their vital role in society in the future. And I just strongly believe the way to combat that is not to come back with, you know, something extreme at the other end, you know, mm-hmm. to manipulate, you know, the evidence ourselves to counter claims by one side or another. No, I'm just idealistic and optimistic, but I do believe that balanced reporting of actually just being straight about the truths, about the evidence, the limitations of the evidence, the magnitudes of both the benefits and the possible harms of alternative policies, being straight, reporting that straight, should, with skilled journalism, should be able to be made into a story that's interesting in itself. I've seen some fantastic stuff on for example, 538, where mm-hmm. they were talking about evidence on breast screening, which is a deeply contested area where there could be very strong claims on one side or another. And by doing good journalism based on the statistical evidence, someone could say that actually it's not convincing one side or another. I and my friend, based on exactly the same evidence, have come up with all different conclusions for ourselves. There is no correct answer to this. We have to interpret the evidence and make up our own minds. Now, you know, maybe that's expecting too much, but I do believe that, you know, this is the way forward. You have to be, in order to be trusted, you have to demonstrate trustworthiness. And that means, in a sense, making yourself vulnerable and open to criticism by the openness of the way that you're using your evidence. And maybe I'm being idealistic, but I do think that's the right way to go.
I think we embrace, around this table, embrace that idealism. And I think we're ready to start marching forward with you, David.
Yeah, exactly. Under the banner.
Yeah,
indeed. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Stats and Short Stories. David, thank you so much for being here.
No, thanks very much.
It's been our pleasure. Stats and Stories is a partnership between Miami University's Department of Statistics and Media Journalism and Film and the American Statistical Association. Stay tuned and keep following us on Twitter or iTunes. If you'd like to share your thoughts on our program, send your email to statsandstories@miamioh.edu. And be sure to listen for future episodes of Stats and Stories, where we discuss the statistics behind the stories and the stories behind the statistics.